You spoke about that the Buddha taught a diversity of teachings. Is the Buddhism of the East interpreted and taught differently to those in the West?
At least when I introduce about Buddhism to new people, just to 2,000 old is a Buddhist tradition, just like that.
So when I introduce Buddhism to the West, I'm still introducing the same Buddhism that is, around from Nagarjuna's time, it's nearly 2,000 years old. It's the same Buddhism. The version of Buddhism that I teach is definitely not what people would call New Age.
Basically, when I give teaching to Tibetan, I always make clear. Now we must return the 2,000-year-old Nalanda tradition, the basic Buddhist sort of tradition. Sometimes among Tibetan, I think some minor thing consider the most important part. Forgetting the basic Buddhist teaching. And then also some of the literature which wrote by Tibetan in Tibet, I think they wrote according to Tibetan circumstances. So sometimes little differences than the Indian origin because of the way of teaching. Now, for example, even Shantideva's book, particularly in the ninth chapter, a lot of argument, because the circumstances in India, they're not only Buddhist, but there are many different sort of ancient Indian school of thought there. So within Buddhism, there's a different sort of views there. I think because of the different school of thought there. So, when he make presentation, they raise all different questions, then argue matter, discuss.
No.
So in Tibet case, I think many generally just take for granted all the audience are Buddhist. So that do same.
So sometimes in the Tibetan text, there's a certain element where the author takes for granted that the audience are all Buddhists.
The Pesitsu said that
in fact, in the morning session, we were talking about this whole question of existence. So, and I made the point that by talking of no self or emptiness, we're actually talking about the dependent nature of reality, dependent origination of things. So Chandrakirti, in one of his texts, his students were saying that he doesn't remember. In Chandrakirti, in one of his texts, maybe it was a commentary on his own supplement to the Middle Way, or maybe it was a commentary, it's the commentary to Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom on the Middle Way, in the commentary to the 400 stanzas of the Middle Way of Aryadeva, there is a point where, in the context of debate or discussion on the question of the absence of intrinsic existence, and so at one point, Chandrakirti expressed a certain element of frustration because the opponent constantly keeps interpreting absence of emptiness of inherent existence as constituting nothingness. So he gets frustrated and he says, well, it's very hard to try to make a point across to someone who has no ears to listen and who has no thoughts and who has no intelligence to comprehend. So here Chandrakirti is complaining that the opponent has failed to fully contemplate on the meaning of the absence of intrinsic existence and has also failed to understand the import of that the idea, the statement. I'm not trying to kind of, you know, dismiss the question, so I would like to apologize if you interpret it that way.
Next question.
How does the Vajrayana view of pure vision, Tana? How does the Vajrayana view of pure vision relate to the dualistic relative view of Shantideva's filth? The pure vision that we speak about in the Vajrayana context actually is a complex process. First of all perceptions of reality needs to be dissolved into emptiness, so that all perceptions of reality has to be perceived in terms of emptiness, and then the very experience or understanding of emptiness has to be understood as dawning in the form of a blissful experience or bliss, and then this blissful state of mind is then imagined as arising in the form of a meditational deity. So that's what pure vision relates to. So it's a complex a process. So particularly in the context of highest yoga tantra, in fact the very mind that perceives all spectrum of reality as emptiness, that the very mind that perceives that is the subtle mind of clear light. So from that point of view, according to Vajrayana tradition, the entire spectrum of our experience arises from within this clear light mind. So one can see everything as a manifestations or expressions of this clear light mind. So the idea that the mind is at the root or is the basis for the arising of the entire world is there even in the sutra. For example, in the sutra on the 10 Bodhisattva levels, there is a statement where the Buddha says that all phenomena are nothing but the mind. And in Chandrakirti's writings, when he interprets this, he understands this in terms of the origination of everything as a result of the karma. So there is this idea that mind is the basis for the arising of all phenomena. And in the highest yoga tantra, one makes distinction between grosser levels of consciousness and mind and subtle level of consciousness and mind. So when we speak of the pure vision, the Vajrayana teachings, we're really talking about a vision and experience at the level of the subtle consciousness and mind. So one needs to be sensitive to the context in which these ideas are presented. For example, according to the Buddhist teaching of no self, all phenomena are devoid of self-existence, selfhood. However, this does not negate the reality of self and others, good and bad actions and so on, and their consequences. Similarly, in the teachings on emptiness, we speak of all phenomena as being dreamlike and illusion-like. But again, that does not imply that nothing is real and that nothing exists. Things do exist and things do have a function of efficacy and so on. Similarly, when we speak about the pure vision of Vajrayana practice, that does not negate the conventional reality of the distinction between a good action and a bad action, and the action giving rise to their consequences and so on.
Tawar and Sangha Kaduria, and a Tamil and Nanshin Kani, Tawar Hai Nanshin Saturday, Kora Mushik Komjibe Kaduke Shigare.
And particularly in the Vajrayana context, when we speak about the dawning of our perceptions in the form of a meditational deity, a pure vision, we're really talking about a particular context of a meditative practice, a particular context of a meditative state. Similarly, we find a significant understanding of the notion of pure vision In the context of a great perfection practice of Dzogchen, and also the Mahamudra, the great seal practices. So it is important to be able to have an overview of the system, the teachings, so that you do not make the error of taking one particular expression and trying to understand everything in an isolated context. Do Buddhists believe in God? In other words, a supreme being.
Supreme beings are not look perhaps for. And then we just higher beings sitting. When you say you suppose such a higher being today, that's what I'm talking about. Let's move on down. Down is even the team is never about what you do. Higher being, the child, the super beings look to grow. Call and church. That the creator is not by money.
Of course, as I normally tell people that Buddhists do believe in the idea of higher beings. For example, particularly from the point of view of us ordinary people, ordinary beings, bodhisattvas on a very high levels of realizations are higher beings. And similarly, the Buddhas and other
arahats, higher being,
and the arahats, the one who have attained liberation from cyclic existence, these are higher beings, and in some sense we can call them superior beings or supreme beings. But if the question is the idea of a supreme being in, as a creator, then of course that's not accepted in Buddhism.
And the law of causality is looked at the kyumera le chuwa maare, takwe ju le chuwa maare, mitubi ju le chuwa maare, chewabu chigi kwa maare, sati shewari.
So, for example, the Buddhist emphasis on the understanding the origination of things in terms of the law of cause and effect makes the point that things and events do not come into being, without any cause, nor do they come into being as a result of some eternal, permanent, unchanging cause, nor are they created by some supreme. Almighty being. And it is on this basis the Buddhist teaching on the dependent origination is based.
Law of causality.
And of course the law of causality operates on that level, on that basis.
Yeah.
Your Holiness, 2 weeks ago my beloved cat died. She was killed by an owl.
Where?
No. Is the pardo, intermediate state, for an animal similar to that for a human? What practices can I do to best help her?
Reda persi ta ta ringdun persi kase dnya manes. Masi ta kena si sumin rilke binen mabre. Chen shen da liya ta persi iya bare. Cha zanga. Tak yunilu kerja ni mana sahaja, ngaya yang macam ni. Tak hendak dead dish tua. Cil leh macam apa tu macam apa, leh macam apa cumi sahaja. So sudah, kita pergi jual madu, senji ke kawat tu ni senji ke pensel ni, kau kawal tua. Ina yang kisah bodoh eh, disuruh ni. Kadang begini kisah sumbo, bodoh eh, ini cegin jawa, lama tu lama, paradi cegin jawa cecah. That then, Hama the Pugu Rigidras, Rigidras, Chicha. That then, Kimzanji Nangi, Namizo, Longjigindras, Chicha. Jazanga, Dawasum, Chisumi, Dindegeta, Dawa, Yerdeng, Chigiglia, Chigbegeta, Gawatuni, Gawat Tele, Ming, Jarina, Panda Yungris. Then, Lome. Lame chitu gyawatum ni manam kiwa chevi na di chi lame tukung zwaya tindali ya panta yata. Ta deshin tu pechung zi dama yin na zi lame tanda le ya lame chik manam kiwa ya chik panta yata. Daga na shingi pame bugu chitu manam kiwa na bugu panta yata. Bugu pame chitu manam kiwa chi kaso gyawatum tuba yin na panta yata. Ta longshu ki dawa sini kimzan chigi nangi kimi Kimichi, Gautum, Pandoyet, this one.
generally speaking,
with
relation to part of the intermediate state, the pattern is the same for human beings and animals, and it is really determined by what kind of rebirth the individual being is going to take the form of. But generally in Buddhism, with regard to the law of cause and effect, there are certain fundamental facts of karmic law that one never faces the consequences of karmic actions that are not done. The karmic acts once committed do not lose their potency to produce their consequences and so on. So the point is that generally liberation and overcoming of sufferings and so on, as far as the karmic processes are concerned, it is the individual oneself that has to find the freedom and the liberation and so on. But however, as the great master, Kadamba master Potowa states, he makes he lists three types of essential relationships. He talks about the spiritual bond and relationship between teacher and students and teacher and disciples. He talks about relationship of blood or by birth of the siblings and parents and children and so on, which are related by birth. And then he talks about the relationship of what he calls the common sustenance or material sustenance or well-being, where family members who may not be related by blood, but they have a common kind of they have a shared well-being situation. So in these three types of very special relationships, Potowa says that one individual, creating good karma and merits for the benefit of the other can enjoy, can have some beneficial results. For example, on the part of the students, making special efforts to help fulfill the aspirations of their teacher can have an impact upon making that realized. Similarly, on the part of the teachers, by making special prayers and the teacher's action of praying for the well-being of the students can have a beneficial outcome. Similarly, in the case of parents and children, one's action can have beneficial outcome on the other in the karmic sense. So in your case, since your cat was someone that you really loved and had this very special bond, so by making special efforts and praying and so on could have an effect upon the cat's transition through the through the next life. And also we find passages in the sutras, the Buddha's own scriptures, where the Buddha, because he had accumulated merits for over three innumerable eons, where in these scriptures Buddha makes very fervent dedication of the benefits of these merits for the well-being of entire sentient beings. And since we have a special karmic connection with the historical Buddha, so because of that, the sheer force of that dedication on the part of the Buddha, it is suggested that we, as those who share special karmic bonds with the Buddha, can actually experience the benefit of that of the merit that the Buddha has created.
Yeah, that's right.
Text.
That's again the Gordian sect, what? Gordian, the, but not Tombaba Gordian, and so on, she don't go there, woman, we already. That third door, Korea, Mindy Bang, the Gordian sect. Then in Yundi, Shabbe, Paja, Jinina Triba, Nina Tribitima, Yana, and a denim water is a bit to me. 세아기 시제트바 태양 방배 아니 양고대 지주 내일 니셔베 민주전 방배 어 내일이다 주변 주변이가 방배 아니 내일이
So to get back to the go back to the lecture, we were speaking about the truth of cessation, and when we in the truth of, among the truth of cessation, there are different levels. For example, one can attain a level of cessation which is at the level of path of seeing, and also one can understand cessation in terms of the total cessation of all the afflictions, so defilement in the form of afflictions. And then there is also the highest level of cessation, which is not just the cessation of the afflictions, but also the entire propensities for dualistic perceptions and so on. So not just the afflictions, but also the subtle imprints and the propensities and so on. So because of this, in the texts, we find mentions of two levels of definite goodness. Definite goodness in the form of liberation from samsara existence, and definite goodness in the form of attainment of highest Buddhahood.
Sada chitani nindri sam pongshi du sungshe le da lam dana changzhou su dun dhamba shi le da ding shi da kato nam sha le ding ne changzhou su dun da lam nyam ne che ya
So, the paths and the practices that are related primarily for the attainment of liberation from cyclic existence, which are presented within the framework of the Four Noble Truths, and also the 37 aspects of the path to enlightenment. These. So, and where the practical framework of the actual path is explained in terms of the three levels of three trainings, higher trainings, where in the higher training on concentration and higher training on wisdom, then the 37 aspects of the path to enlightenment are presented. So these aspects of the Buddhist path are explained in the Pali tradition, in the Pali teachings here.
That the Shri Shaiva Thala. And the Chindru Vinyamni Sungja Ji, the Pajya Tsoshya, the Chindru Vinyamni Zandun Che, and the Sungja Ji, the Pajya Shri Jing Shungzu, Pajya Tsoshya Muna.
And taking these teachings as a basis, and then emphasizing primarily the practice of the six perfections, this approach you find in the perfection of wisdom sutras, perfection of wisdom scriptures.
Tangan ludu shuwe kudu ne tepo shimo sanji ka yin lemen liya tsaba dene iya vare.
From the time of as early as Nagarjuna's time, there had been questions about the authenticity of Mahayana teachings, whether or not they represent true teachings of the Buddha, or true words of the Buddha.
Sasaka, Gopu Chambe, Chamshu Dengenangi, Dodiyan Arariya, Godaga, Tishin Kuru Chiksungduwa, Ini luru umur ini cahaya nalar kerjut jisung yari. Tene lobi lengdengi umur ini guna nalar tesis kerjut sung yari. Tene siwale junju ganda nalar le tesis kerjut yungu yari. Tengye thong.
Because of this debate about the authenticity of Mahayana teachings as representing the words of the Buddha, and there were debates. And also because of this, we see in the writings of great Mahayana masters defense of the authenticity of the Mahayana teachings. For example, in Maitreya's Ornament of Mahayana Sutras, there is a section that deals with the establishment of the authenticity of Mahayana teachings. Similarly, we find in Nagarjuna's Precious Garland, Ratnavali, and also in Bhava Viveka's Essence of Middle Way or Heart of the Middle Way, there is a section that deals with the same theme. And we find in Shantideva's text, there is a section that deals with the question of the authenticity of Mahayana teachings.
Daine, and the Shun, the
And we also find in some Mahayana treatises, for example, in Dharmakirti's exposition of valid cognition, Pramanavartika, there are extensive rational arguments and also reasoning that establishes the validity of the path to Buddhahood and the teachings and so on. So the level of detail, rational explanation that we find with relation to these issues, probably we may not find these in the Pali tradition. So in this respect, the Sanskrit tradition in India seems to be much more extensive.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, the Buddhist Tantra, whether or not it is a true Buddhist teaching or Buddhist path, becomes an issue of debate.
아리안 대화 이 말로 태도민 누사 공부했어.
Actually, I've mentioned this elsewhere. Of course, whether or not the Buddhist Tantra is an authentic Buddhist tradition and Buddhist teaching has been an object of matter of debate. So, among scholars, those who do not accept the Vajrayana tradition to be true Buddhist teaching, they then have to find a way of interpreting or explaining away the attribution of some of the Vajrayana texts to Nagarjuna. So, Nagarjuna and so on. So, from their point of view, these tantric texts cannot be accepted as authored by the great authors like Nagarjuna, who is the author of the Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, and so on. The problem then is, then you have to start making distinctions between two types of Nagarjuna and two types of that master and two types of that master, and so on. And finally, in the case of Atisha, the great master who came to Tibet, his classic work, Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, in that text, Stages of the Path, towards the end of that text, there is a very specific reference to the Vajrayana path. So again here, one would be forced to say that there were two Atishas as well. So with this respect, I remember once there was this great Indian Buddhist scholar, a Sanskritist by the name of Ubhadeva. He has already passed away, but once he was in doing a research on the Kalachakra text, Vimalaprabha, Stainless Light, and in connection with that research, he spent some time in Nepal, and he came across just a single folio of a text, and which later turned out to be from a text that is attributed to Aryadeva, the author of the 400 verses on the Middle Way. And so this is from Aryadeva's Vajrayana text, referred to as the purification of the defilements of the mind or mental defilements. And Ubhadeva told me that as a result of close analysis of this one-page text that he has found, particularly through a linguistic analysis of the writing style, the composition, and the kind of the tone and the temperament of the author, he said that in his mind he has no doubt the author of this one-page text that he has come across is exactly the same person who wrote 400 verses on the Middle Way. In terms of the style of composition, the language, and everything, so far as he is concerned, he had no doubt that these two, the authors of these two texts are the same person.
So
as a result of his own personal kind of research, he told me that so far as he is concerned, he is convinced that Aryadeva, the author of the 400 verses on the Middle Way, had actually authored Vajrayana texts. And if that is the case, then of course one could also infer that his own teacher Nagarjuna must have also authored Vajrayana texts as well.
세상아, 애는 뭐지? 당해 안 되던 미안 뒤집셔야 안 돼. 사제 남자 손에 그 둘이야. 애네 롱차마, 댄저차마, 라마차마, 냠용차마, 차마시지 송리 아래. 세상아, 차마시부디 중요한 점 뭐지? 롱차마 등이 안 돼. 근데 롱을 댄에 뒤 대바 댄저차마. 대다 있는 더 댄저스님도 다. 규도 공직이 되는 냠수 시에네 아니 배 룽도기 한데 두줄 총인 두자네 아니 시안을 봐 가서 그게 등갱기 라마차마 대대로 라마차마를 때네 라메 아니 람된 고아리야 아니 가서 그다 냠는 제니 아니 강사랑이 그 로마랑이 그리야 냠는 차마게야 중요한 것은 그림지체 다랑게 줄래야 대다대 참아인 뭐 네번이야 그림 공원도 잡아이나 도만 양용 참아 랑일 양용 참아 시켜 인도자네 소수 양용 뒤
다
근데 천대는 라면 다 람등 와리야 소스 냠냄새는 냠냠도 좀 있으산에 에네 라면 참아리야 지다 인내번이야 어 텔라 때네 땡주 참아는 게번이야 텔라 때네 자야 담바 야 에네 룽 잡아보려야 에네 참아니 이신이야 어 그럼 뜻은 물어와 뜻 잠바리샤 땅 안에도 나도 다 냠 빼는 내는 뒤 쉬고 다 냠냠을 냠냠 지체도 하고 된지다 냠냠 패런 이체 말한지 줄어 냠냠 체도 하고 가 가고도 가 가고도 되는 냠냠 패러서 요구도 가다 자 냠냠 패와 되지 예배 인도자네 냠냠 패와 될 빵나 말한지 루규나 라마 코멘 남다지는 나로리아 냠냠 체바 되는 예배들 숨도 와 그 탐제도 때문에 이미 가신데 탐제 준비 말하다 자 지는 인도자네 아 냠냠 체바 되는지 거다 용처지 이번 인도자는 냠냠 삼아 텔레방에 라마 삼아 텔레방에 댄저 삼아 텔레방에 롱 삼아 이번 일 해야지 역사를 댄베 지름치 댄베 능주신에 댄발라 이신이가 따도 강원 서송자에서 좀 늦지 못했죠.
Generally, I find a particular, a specific approach in the tradition of Sakya path and fruition approach, Lamdre approach, where there is a discussion of what are known as the five valid factors, or four valid factors, four valid factors, valid scriptures, valid commentarial treatises, valid teachers, and valid experience. So in terms of the sequence of the origination, the valid scriptures come into being first, and then on the basis of these scriptures, you know, masters have written various treatises, commentarial explanations. So that came second, and on the basis of that, and there were masters, the teachers who were able to embody these knowledge. And so the third, the valid teachers or valid masters came into being, and on the basis of the teachings given by these valid teachers, then in the mental continuum of the students, valid experiences take place. So this is the actual the sequence in which these four factors come into being. But in terms of the sequence of gaining a sense of conviction in their efficacy and validity, the order is really reversed. One must first begin from having some confidence in the validity of one's own personal experience. And on the once you have a kind of a certain level of experience, valid experience, then on that basis, then you can gain admiration in the qualities that are embodied by your teacher. So on that base, on the basis of your own valid experience, you can then validate your teacher. And so once you have gained conviction in the validity of the teacher, then you will be able to then infer the validity of the commentarial treatises of the great masters. On that basis, then you will then be able to gain conviction in the validity of the scriptures. So this is the process in which you come to gain conviction in the validity of these factors. So as I normally tell people that when we speak of valid experience, of course there will be a very high level of deep spiritual realizations and then more ordinary type of valid experiences. So for us ordinary people, we have to begin with this ordinary level of experience. And we do occasionally have these experiences, although the higher level of experiences may be not yet available to us, but at least we have inklings of experience. And so when you have at least some degree of valid experience, then you will be able to then relate to the biographies of the great masters, and where we find mentions of deeper levels of experience. So of course not everything in the biographical literature may be true, but at the same time not everything in the biographical literature are also false. So one, on the basis of the little experience that one has, one will be able to at least get a sense and get an inkling of the possibility of a deeper level of experience. And once you have that kind of conviction, then of course your conviction in the teacher and his or her validity will be affirmed. So this is this process, this approach of deepening one's conviction in the scriptures and the teachers and the experience, I find it helpful. Earlier I forgot one part where Ms. Olena said that in fact this approach that you find in the Sakya Lamdre tradition, where the path and fruition tradition, it also is similar in spirit with a passage in Tsongkhapa's text where Tsongkhapa makes the aspirational prayer that may I, on the basis of understanding deeply the pattern of the Buddha's path, Buddha's doctrine, may I be able to develop a deep conviction in the validity of the Master, the Buddha. So it's the same kind of approach, same spirit. And similarly, I did share this on several occasions with other people about 20 years ago when Taulung Shabdrung Rinpoche escaped Tibet and came to India. He at one point conferred upon Dingo Kenzi Rinpoche a set of initiations that relates to Taglung tradition. And Shabdrung Rinpoche, Taglung Kagyu tradition, Shabdrung Rinpoche told me that when he was conferring these initiations and performing the ceremony, in that room on the beams, he had a vision of the entire lineage masters of that particular set of teachings. And so this Taglung Shabdrung Rinpoche was a very simple and humble monk, and there was no reason why he should be telling lies to me, and he was someone who had no particular expectations or any particular agenda. The only thing that he does have is a slightly squint in his eyes, so maybe, you know, that may be a factor, but still that could have been a factor, but I mean that's what Taglung Shabdrung Rinpoche told me, and he said that the vision of the lineage masters was very vivid. All upon the beams, across the beams in that initiation room. Similarly, among my own spiritual colleagues, there are some who have had very deep experiences.
Very extraordinary sort of experiences.
So
these things does exist. Oh. Yeah, all right.
So on this basis, you know, I mean, on the basis of one's own, you know, kind of minimal level of experiences, one can infer the possibility of these higher, deeper, or extraordinary levels of experience, on the basis of which one can then gain conviction in the efficacy and the validity of what the teachers and so on.
That 소수 시에버디 소수 다 미지지 지다 케벤저야 전화가 집에 있는 뭐 약간 그러면 다 강시에버디 되는 순간 된다 지 강시에버디 그래서 두둑이 소수 냠는 게 아니야 소수 샘드 체두인 삼바지기 그 믹서로 고 마마로 지금 다 하네 또 금지 있잖아 로지 롱아 로주 로주한 이슈 땡땡서는 요도 그래
So these kind of extraordinary realizations that we are talking about, of course, do not, come about simply on the basis of knowledge. So knowledge of the Dharma, Buddha Dharma alone is not sufficient, and particularly knowledge in the form of individual who seek knowledge simply for the sake of knowledge, that cannot lead to the kind of realizations we are talking about. What is required is to never lose sight of the primary objective of engaging in the study of Dharma, which is the taming of one's own mind, the disciplining of one's own mind. And so while keeping that in mind, if one constantly tries to live as much as possible the teachings and try to implement them into practice and constantly apply to this single objective of disciplining one's own mind and taming one's own mind, then gradually over time, over a period of time, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years, over time, I can guarantee you 100% that there will be transformation, there will be change. Shantideva makes the statement in his Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life by riding the horse of Bodhicitta, the awakening mind, and being able to travel from a place of joy to another place of joy. What intelligent person would ever feel tired or discouraged by such a journey? This is truly a statement coming from someone who has a level of conviction and certainty.
And
definitely, if that kind of realization of bodhicitta, the awakening mind, is complemented with the faculty of wisdom, such as particularly the understanding of the dependent origination, the truth of dependent origination, then truly one's experience and one's path will be remarkable. So the text that we are dealing with, the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, deals primarily with two themes, that is the bodhicitta, the awakening mind, and the wisdom of emptiness, the view of emptiness. The ninth chapter of Shantideva's text deals with emptiness, the philosophy of emptiness, and the remaining chapters deal with the practice and cultivation of bodhicitta, the awakening mind.
So 다 지 양모다 드주타네 제니 샹야니 슝고 토불이야 지배냠리고 송이 말이 어디리 지기 토마스 기 대응으로 야라드 봐 대응으로 심지 팬유삼 봐 디리 먼도 다네 무시심 기 깨베절 아니 친구냠네 자 어디 저 준주기 자 단다지 드리지 말이 다야 yang chua xian xin yang sun bei yin ne liu sim di pan yu liu ne xia bei liu ne sim sun yu liu chen liu sun bu de chen liu sun ma ji wo jie wo che de guo guo de ji xie de ne ne fa yu liu de xi xin liu de a di di chen ge sai ne se bei liu chen di sun bu de ge chen liu sun jie wo ming nian ba 숭야 미념 숭야 요 숭체 데네 준류류 삼댕류 실류 대순부 되게 에네 깨고 코네 콘도 빼야 다 냠린 덴베 슝 직체 에네 주 뭐야 주체 어디 숭체
So the Shantideva's text is entitled Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life or the Way of the Bodhisattva. So the title itself suggests the key theme of the text, which is the Bodhisattva's way of life. And the Bodhisattva's way of life can be subsumed into the two primary aspects of the path, that is the method, skillful means aspect of the path, and the wisdom aspect of the path. So it is these two, the wisdom and method, are the key themes of Shantideva's text. So if we look at the chapter, a layout of Shantideva's text. The first chapter deals with the benefits of cultivating or generating awakening mind. Second chapter deals with the practice of confession or purification, which is part of the seven limb practice, which are the preliminary practices for laying the foundation for cultivating the awakening mind. And chapter three deals with the practice of upholding the awakening mind. And then you have chapter 4, which is the chapter on heedfulness or watchfulness, or maybe vigilance is a better word. And then chapter 5 is introspection or introspective vigilance. These two deal primarily with the various aspects of the practices that help maintain pure ethical discipline. So these two chapters deal primarily with the practice of morality or ethical discipline. And then chapter 6 is on patience or forbearance. Chapter 7 is on vigor or effort. And chapter 8 is on meditation or concentration. And chapter 9 is on wisdom. And the chapter 8 is on dedication, where the key theme is the practice of the perfection of giving. And the perfection of giving, in fact, the discussion on the perfection of giving is spread throughout the Shantideva's text, some part in in the practice of the seven limbs and so on. So we can also look at the structure of Shantideva's text in a slightly different way. For example, chapter 1, 2, and 3 can be seen as presenting the practices that are necessary and critical for cultivating and generating an awakening mind in the initial phase where the awakening mind has not arisen. And chapter 4 and 5 and 6 present various practices that enable us to maintain the mind that has been generated from degeneration. And chapter 7, 8, and 9 and then deals with various practices that help us enhance the the practices of the awakening mind and the mind that we have generated. And chapter 10 deals with the dedication of all the practices.
Oh yeah. Tadari Tinda chapter Kyabati.
So in this series of lectures, we will be dealing with the chapter 8 of Shantideva's text.
That the Liu Tamatha, the 준주를 우차 되어 그래. 근데 인도 제대로 준주 깨는 이니 띵은 전에 샤생. 다 준주를 때네. 아니 삼대 그게 샤베.
Since the immediately preceding chapter was on vigor or joyous effort, the text is making a reference to that. So we read, after cultivating diligence, set your mind to concentrate.
That day, so the Changju Samjong was Sungu Yindu, something Liu Nalaya, that. 또 닥세냠지 청주선 좀 숨어야지 일단 리우드 또 차려야 돼.
Since Shantideva's own primary theme of the topic of the text is that of the practice of awakening mind, bodhicitta, so in this chapter on concentration, the main focus really is the practice of the exchange, the bodhicitta, the exchange of equalizing and exchanging and equalizing self and others.
다 탐전해야 지 세심 미니멈 매봐 탐전을 보게 켜버지 영향이야 단 개인디 소소를 연내버 증행에 다 달이야 아니 미야디 딱 강에 제기도 왕아도 저 지네 인류산에 디 루트고 스벨류 그돌이야 다 진심부임아 아니 왜 랑기 서버권배 개신이임아 두야다 디 대문도 개시시듯이야. 다 되게 개인세야지. 또 스벨리브 그도리야 손에. 다 드네 아니 드네다 가서 그래. 아산도 삼대리브 그도리야 아니 닥신이 손에 다 되시야. 자 드네 이제 준주고 다 준주를 지나 로종스기하래. 로종스야지 멋이다미. 다 산지를 쳐 영조디. 다 산지를 쳐라 타워면은 쳐 영조 로종을 하는 로트야지. 다 디난제네 금지 취해야지 아니 닮았으니 지구를 그게 다 깨버려야 디 지구 뒤에 또 다시 뇽몸을 지구를 깨버려야 시샤베이나 또 산제를 쳐서 또 거고 해야 돼 자 디네 이메 인도산에 디네를 보다 가시오래 야 내일 가서 쉬고 싶나 자 디네 인도 산제를 쳐 용서로 로 정해야지 쳐요 로 좀 쳐야 돼 이네 그럼들 로종세하기 지민디 그 아니 다 주야시체니 실 가족을 로마투어 투어치야 탐자로 로종세디 그럼들 로종세하기 란진진 롱엔디 장니 아다 샹진진 로코네 콘도 빼야 로종 제대로 찍어 네 로종 민다 근데 인류 준주로 로종 민 타야기 로종 그 싸워버디 다 류디샴드마니
So since in the context of cultivating awakening mind, bodhicitta, what Shantideva wishes to teach is a method by which we can really cultivate a deep sense of compassion and a sense of concern, free of prejudices and totally unbiased, and extended towards all sentient beings. Therefore, in order to help us cultivate that, first in the sixth chapter, Shantideva deals primarily with, addresses a major obstacle to cultivating such an equanimous altruistic mind towards all. And this is our attitude towards the so-called enemies, and how to find a method of dealing with our prejudices towards and against our enemies. So in the chapter 6, the chapter on forbearance, Shantideva taught us various thought processes and practices whereby we are able to appreciate, cultivate a state of mind where we are able to appreciate the value of the presence of enemies, those who cause harm upon us. And furthermore, he has also taught a method whereby we can in fact recognize our enemies as true spiritual teachers. And on that basis, we aim to try to overcome a major obstacle that comes in the way of cultivating this unbiased altruism and compassion towards all beings. Having done that in this particular chapter, chapter 8, Shantideva then wants to explain primarily the actual practice of cultivating this awakening mind in the form of exchanging and equalizing self and others. So because of this, this particular practice of exchanging and equalizing self and others is referred to as mental training or training, mind training or lojong. Generally, one could say that all forms of spiritual practices can be characterized as a form of mind training, because they are all aimed at a transformation of one's mind. So not just Buddhist teachings, but in fact the entire spiritual teachings and practices can be characterized as lojong. But here, this generic term is used in a very particular context where a specific practice of bodhicitta is referred to as lojong or mind training. And here, the key point of that mind training is to train our mind in such a way that we can overcome our habitual self-centeredness and grasping at one's, cherishing one's own self, and then transform them and them and bring about within ourselves the thought that would cherish the welfare of other sentient beings. So this particular practice is referred to and acquired this name, lojong, or mind training.
파 세니다 그게 내가 중에 때부터 중에는 로신다 치우치 신주신다 치 다 미국 때를 때를 제일 미국 대학가나 세니다 대등에게 진진들을 다 실에 쟁기 로직을 띵인진 사고 신 지식원 사 실유래 이는 띵인진 샤 다 띵인진 미국을야 내가 가야 매버렸다 담는다 된다 가인에다 지도하다 진입에 다 최고 살다 가인에다 용도 가
So we read in the text at the beginning, after cultivating vigor or joyous effort, set your mind to meditative concentration or meditative stabilization. Here, when we speak of meditative absorption, this samadhi or tingenzin in Tibetan should not be understood as a kind of a restful state of restful physical state of being. Where you know there's a kind of a you know a relaxation that takes place. What is being referred to here as kind of is setting your mind to meditative absorption. We are referring to a state of mind where there is a certain amount of stillness of the mind with relation to a particular focus of meditation. So this meditative absorption or samadhi. Or concentration is a state of mind which has a certain quality. It is free of kind of a laxity, or nor is it too excited. So there is a certain degree of equilibrium, having cultivated the joyous effort. We then need to set our mind to this meditative concentration where one maintains a degree of equilibrium. And so with this respect, we have to have some understanding of our mental processes and mental states. In Buddhist psychology, one makes distinctions between mind and mental factors. And the distinction is made on the basis of our cognitive experience. So mind is the primary faculty of cognition where you do not relate to a particular aspects or characteristics of the object. So it's like the kind of totality of the cognitive experience of that object, whereas the differentiation of the characteristics of that object is done by mental factors. So there are, of course, different types of mental factors according to the Abhidhamma Samuchaya, compendium of Abhidhamma or higher knowledge tradition, and there are five mental factors which are ever present or omnipresent, which are present in every mental state, and there are five mental factors which are referred to as factors of ascertainment, and concentration is one of those factors. So we need to be able to understand the way in which mental processes operate.
This one. Yini ting zhe sha. Da yi kang de ge mi gu le ya fa ka shu le. Da chen ni de ya le ya dang zu na ming ge sem chi lo le be su su rang me ba da sem tuo de ya de ge ko pa zu jai mu du ga. 这个人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的人的 Ya duk stya wundro, sem yu nambra yeme mi nyumun chewe tanda nes. Da sem dewe mikbe gangli ya naya la fardu jaya la sem chilo du to tode ya li. So da wa dizu tegi, eni gada sem mikbe la naya la fardu jaya li esh. Nini di nyanga ya li esh, nyanga kairas laba yina 남도 레도가 남도 먹고지기 심파주 촌르잖아요. 아니 제 소스지다 로리아 지 가서래 지금 대배 단다지로 봐 로초윤드 로초윤드잖아요. 차고지야. 라 소스 민주지 가는야 로초윤드잖아요. 당화제야. 마제제야. 저 차도제야. 딱 먹고지고 남도 담배도 샤야 제리야 용되기도 가. 그 개회 미국 찍리야. 로 헨이 데베 데토 존나 그 남돈 담을 찍기 말에 남돈 담을 맞게나 남돈 되게 제선 전에 차당으로 뛰어 이거 말 봐. 저들이 인도 남돈 담면데 제수 아 로 친체 친배이나 아니 뇽몽바 계약이 깬 참아 처요 뭐야. 저들이 인도 뇽몽베 체외 차배 나라 내가 너 실해 좀 말에 뇽몽 체외 차.
So earlier I forgot another sentence. So when we are talking about meditative concentration, we are talking about a practice of cultivating an ability to maintain one's focus with a stillness upon a chosen object. So as far as the object of meditation is concerned, meditative concentration is concerned, one can choose any kind of object for that kind of practice. So Shantideva writes then, for those whose minds are scattered, they are caught between the fangs of the afflictions. What he's saying is that for the practitioners who are focused on cultivating a concentration, meditative concentration, one major obstacle that comes in the way of having a successful meditation is this, having one's mind, scattered. So it wanders and it gets distracted. So therefore, it is the major obstacle that one needs to address. Not only that it is an obstacle for concentration, but also the scattered mind or the wandering can also have destructive and damaging consequences. When we try to focus our mind single-pointedly upon a chosen object of meditation, we know from our own personal experience that all of a sudden our mind gets distracted, whether by some spontaneous noise or whether a recollection of something that has occurred to us, or whether some kind of anticipation or hopes or fear that are directed to the future. So the mind gets, the stillness of the mind is lost, and the focus is lost, and the mind gets distracted. And when the mind is distracted, depending upon what kind of object it is, if it is an object or an event that is desirable, then that distraction will then give rise to attachment and desire and so on. Whereas if the object that distracts you is something that is undesirable, then that distraction can lead to fear or anger, hostility, jealousy, conceited, arrogance, and so on. So, depending upon what kind of thoughts distract you, whether it is desirable or undesirable, it opens the door to all sorts of hopes, expectations, fears, and so on, which then opens the door to a whole host of afflictions. And therefore, Shantideva says that, on the other hand, if we are able to maintain the stillness of the mind and remain single-pointedly focused on the chosen object, then that very act precludes your mind being distracted and your mind being influenced and overwhelmed by the afflictions. Therefore, Shantideva says that those whose minds are distracted are in some sense caught in the fangs of the afflictions, and because the door is open for the afflictions to arise.
Then you must say the medical control. That jump to sugar, maybe so just the negative thing to be. So when the chief over the chief over the when the medal is shining, Coralia, the Coralia, New York, Chitua, Coralia. 개긴 세야 누벌 찍대. 그냥 콜콜에 지 튕긴디디 둘을 칭해지. 이 지금 미벌 소리 좋아. 전화한테 전화했대. 사실 봐, 차보 공부시다. 축 공부로 봤다. 차보 공부로 봐. 차보 공부 있는 자네 한테 깨끗한 말을 해. 나는 깨끗해야 돼. 양코를 걸어 추스미야. 양코는 여기서 또 가고 축 구걸 보다. 근데 깽을 이리 축 구걸야 돼. 아니 깽을 축 괴배 가서 그래. 괴배 내주 뒤와 안에 축 공부 영역이야. 그래 동부 나눠서 추수 심대야지. 네. 양식 로마 카이세 로마 카이세 나눠서 추시다 이거 되지. 드림도 지방 가시아니야 심지어 통역 추미주자네 로마디스에나 로마디 나로리아 르렁시다 숙소부 여러체 그에다도 몸에 아직 침이 약하도 동의 철을 뒤시아야 돼 용도와 그래서 이제는 그래 샘이 펜병으로 찍으라 코로 소야를 코로 코로 찍이 개진세야다 튕긴 두야를 찍이 코로 찍이 여드려서 있어봐 뒷면은 그 속에 말해봐 그냥 찍이 말해 뒷면 속에 말해 코로 코로는 개진세야다 튕긴 두야를 찍이 나 그래 레알리스면 자요. 나 가능해. 나 지금 공부 고랑 수준이 면로. 자, 나 뛰는 신체네. 나한테 실류를 차시하네. 류디 즉 나눠 보는 이민 시스템을 이제는 그 개진세야지. 그 런시게 되지. 그걸 튕긴 면으로 치야로. 즉 류소야기. 그걸 차지는 지 영대도. 뛰는 신 배지 삼류 나래야. 당하고 쏘는데 심대이 메이드잖아. 그 세무 나러래야. 나 지가소래. 르, 지, 유어로, 소에, 소와 깸부로 유어되고, 소와 숙성부로 유어되고, 베지다, 이모션 싸우면서. 자, 맨날 디 나눠리야, 디 맨은, 배드, 지, 가속을 그게, 소화로, 가게 매댕에 집에이나, 그 속에 말하고, 그 동화도에 마시면서 대비이나, 그 당하체에 마시면서 대비이나, 그 속에 걸 말하고, 다. 자, 니네들은 그 소화 고도가, 소화 깸부 고도가. 소화깸부 여는 속고도 와. 나 소화깸부 나나. 나 지금 튕긴 루겐디 튕긴 눈물을 챙해 튕긴 눈물을 챙겐디 튕긴 눈물을 챙겐디 대신 대사하시라. 대사하기 나는 사와를 차고 똥을 차고 냥을 차고 냄을 차고 걸을 차고 고향이 이래도 차고도 와. 내일자는 그 차배 수 틈백인 비우실도 와. 딱 공들 개긴 떼기도 와. 개긴 싸울 시와 미친배 깬디디 코파 떼. 떼우시는 게 와. 저장가 그런 차당 유무님들 그런 랭귀를 떠서도 와. 딱 뒤에 아재 삼수도 와. 슝대는 슝배 통벌레 털고 말아 와다. 냄바로 와다. 근데 딱 슝바 세다고, 마제기, 내 토글이, 아, 끊어, 타가, 사르시기. 아니, 배신, 캐도 세네. 나지, 지소, 딸을 수내자, 배신에 초도 쓴데, 쌤, 캥싱, 팔을 캐도 쓴데, 버짐쟁, 수원은 지쟁이, 나지는 저거, 랑, 초도 때, 배신에, 배신에, 배 캐도 쌩에도, 배신, 바로 팔, 지기, 내 공병맨 사서, 샤인도 쌩에, 그, 뒤, 랑, 소양도 팽기도 와. 더문더. 따다가는 이제, 랑도, 냠바지, 야도, 스베, 덴두루, 연구도, 차도 오게. 그 봐, 까체. 소소 공을 마당하지, 까야지, 지그러 보다. 제가 생각, 그, 릉신, 행지기, 뇨모디, 이디기, 랑, 소야리야, 해지, 지, 그, 가서 그래. 그, 랑, 소야, 된다, 뒤, 배지, 연구를 쓸 통기. 따? 다 어느 뒤 경험 가르쳤나? 다 경험 가르쳤나? 차고 뛰니, 튕긴 뒤로 치기 열었디, 튕긴 뒤로 치다니, 그 차고 뛰, 몽배 샹왕도 뒤로 인상, 그 튕긴 두다니, 램다 땜배다 튕긴 두고다. 그 램다 국배 튕긴 두다니, 회식적이. 다가면 신기, 세단기, 그다 콩수, 개진 세야코에, 야, 띠무기. 그, 시세세리 예배인데, 그, 링지 구고 잘 나오자. 저러다가, 그, 양, 골라가 집시대야지. 그, 체류도 와. 띠, 다른 여자랑, 체류부지 계시오. 그, 생체류부지. 시에당으로 깨백허둘러. 시에당 깨백허둘러. 미가와, 이게다, 미가와 깨서디, 이도 몸으로 통과하러 와. 그, 이도 몸으로 차. 롱롱을 달라. 이도 몸으로 낭대야지. 야자 고주당 쪼다랬어도 그 생각을 다 만수 우문 저기 싸우시러 나가려야 Any leather you must sell it up, leather you must number less. Timmy is a number of the Any you do with you chisel do with the middle of the Danny Chadantia, Sumorota, Sashuna. That Timmy is a little bit. What's also Lutan Shiva Marimara, and you should share your. Just like that, you could have a number of daughter, corner is little. So the day into that, go Chadangi, Tunjim, Dubuchada. 개인 세월 세야지 체류할때 이내 그 남도 그 도다니 아니 튼비 개인삼 영역이 다 튼지 초도 돼 일단 미튼비 개인 삼시 때 미튼비 개인 시부지로 돼지 아니 그 가서 그래 뭐유 내줄래 개래 다 지금 튼지 두야다 개인 세야지 체류도 아니 가서 품는 거야 되지 다시 들으셔 대신도 마제기 그러니 최신 대기면서니 나 타바 설치하고 그만 토국도 내 진짜 탐지가 되는 두고 인스럽도 쌤데 뽑아 쉬어서 와 내 톱 삼배 뽑아다 할래비스도 와 뽑아 할래비스도디 이내 디 쉬는데 차도 쓰야 싸워지는 야 말라 쉬는 찍도 쎄래 삼배 아니 쉬는데 쿠들라네 연두산에 쌤들 때인데 딱 마게 야장 치장 문란의 사고에 뽑아 내뉴 삼바지 시부스도디 대라 개게 켠도 대래야 지금 가도 우리 지금 시안이야 지금 단 내가 계약서 드리 지금 가도 초승대보다 골라서야 켠도 뽑아대 딴 다가는 지금 인지 삼배 튕긴 뉴르치야 켜도 인지르시야 인지 튕긴 뉴르잖아 지금도 세 삼배 튕긴 뉴거를 마도 착외 삼바 내가 인지잖아 텐데 착외 견주 동주를 사고 튕긴 두통에 이내 달래야 미춘배 겨와다껴 떼내매 들었지. 수단 개진세야리 세외 왕기 파르보 내가 진행해 파르보 아직 다 랭해서기 다 되게 저분이 막 코그래 다 코르야 니 깽해 연구를 쌈배 세외 쌈배 개진 너야 세외이나 그 개진 너배 젤래 여자봐 젤래디 시안은 지금 세외 쌈배 시안은 내배 쌈배 매대봐 시안은 패배 쌈배 끝나는데 저와 나는 모멘터네 공주 개진 싸우는 신지 세트야지 믿으게 나도 상담은 애니 뉴모스야지 접종 몸배 애니 시세 제대로 진주자네 그 템벌 쌈바 레디 즉 템벌 두고 입에 계절이 레디 태어나 그 골라지네지 자 뉴몬 파 샤네 뉴몬 제 머인에게 로 삼아지기 세매 갑진 유에베 로 지기 개인 세신 퉁주루야 차상 체도하지도 와 사무실 단지 돕는데 나가지 자, 근데 이제 뉴모 세야디 딴 리카시 어쩌시면 시죠 말 수는 애니 소화면 되고 싶어 그러고 그러시도 이제 자기는 말 봐. 뉴모 쟁기 유라 가서 신지 체베 로디 요 말이디 이네 균쟁기 그다 균쟁 양다고 타네 세지도 시험을 세야 삼바 그 내용도 가시 오다 내가 내가 계속 와.
So, although you know some of you might already be aware, we talked about the the nature and the destructive functions of the afflictions and so on. But here, I just wanted to share something. It seems that there is actually in many fields of reality or many aspects of reality. There seems to be some kind of a system naturally inbuilt within that system which helps sustain the events and the things and so on. For example, like even in the physical world, external world, if you look at, say, a flower or, you know, inanimate plants and so on, even in this material world of plants, we do see, say for example, like a flower, and particularly the cactuses that we see here in this dry country of Arizona. We find, for example, in cactus, because it has to grow and it has to survive in this dry climate where water is so scarce, that there is a natural mechanism within the plant itself that enables it to retain enough water so that even during the dry times, it will be able to continue to sustain itself. Similarly, we also find plants where the leaves are quite unusual. Particularly in the desert countries, there are plants which have leaves that retain so much water, so that the animals that live in these leaves, animals that live in these desert terrain, they can quench their thirst by simply chewing on these leaves because enough water has been retained. So what we see even in this external world of plants, there is a kind of a natural mechanism in these systems which enable not only the plants to grow in the first place, but also to sustain in that environment. Similarly, we look at our body. Our body has an immune system. So there is a natural mechanism within our body that allows the body to sustains its vitality and also confront the hostile agents that comes from the environment, and so this immune system of the body enables the whole kind of the natural kind of health to be sustained. So whether these are functions of karma or whether it is some by its very nature, probably it's the latter, that in the natural world, where there are these elements, there is inbuilt in the system itself a mechanism that enables it to sustain and so on.
So that healing of the Dagger Chair, the Quarter of the Mazuda, Chev, Quarter of Shisuwa, Chini River, Kasa, Judy, Charchev River, Deve River, the healing of the Sunguwa. That Tishin Shavatar, Integrus.
So it is because of these kind of facts we find in the Buddhist literature discussions of four kinds of principles of nature. The one is the principle of nature, which is the way things as they are by their very nature. And then there is the principle of dependence, and there is the principle of function or functionality, and on the basis of these three principles one can then apply the principle of inference, which is the logic, the principle of reason. So now if we use the same kind of observation on our own mental states, within our mental states there are powerful mental states such as the emotions and also the cognitive mental states and so on. So within these emotion, the world of emotion, we have certain broad categories or families of these emotions. On the one hand, there are those emotions that are, their primary function is to help us acquire the necessary means for survival. For example, attachment is a primary emotion of that class, where our attachment to material objects, our attachment to food, our attachment to shelter, our attachment to companions, motivate us to then seek these, which are necessary for our survival and sustenance. Then we also have classes of emotions where their primary function is to help us remove the obstacles in our seeking these necessary conditions for survival. And these types of emotions include primarily anger, hatred, hostility and so on, that help us deal with obstacles that come in the way of our acquisition of the necessary means for survival. Similarly, the emotions of pride or arrogance, because we know that discouragement does not lead to any solution. Discouragement leads to failure. So therefore, we have pride and confidence, which really help us. And then um, um, Now, which then help us to overcome problems and so on. So if you look at these, the world of emotions, similarly, the emotion of jealousy that you know can be seen as helping us to compete with those whom we consider to be more of an kind of equal status. So you can see that each of these emotions, primary emotions, do have a role, does have a role in the overall survival and sustenance of the individual. However, the problem is, and then the question then is, if that is so, then what is the problem? So, for example, so let us take the example of compare ourselves to animals. Animal world has definitely no religion. So what makes animals to be able to survive is the emotions that they possess. So, in the case of us human beings too, if we are totally out of touch with our emotions, if we do not have emotions, for example, no attachment or no, for example, then if we may not even be able to know if we experience pain, if we are not able to recognize this and have emotion. Imagine if we are not able to recognize
emotion. So
imagine a person who has no emotions at all, then the person may not be even able to know that he or she is hungry or afraid. So a person who is totally devoid of emotions is like someone who is on anesthesia. You know, there's a breathing that is going on, respiration is going on, but there is no feeling at all. So if that is the case, then the question is, what is the problem with these emotions? What's wrong with them? They are natural, they have a role to play. And then the question really is that they tend to lead to disasters. They tend to lead to, although these emotions do have an important role in the overall survival and sustenance and the well-being of the individual, but they act in a way that is beyond a reasonable limit. So they do not perform their functions, the roles, in an appropriate manner. Whereas, contrast to the afflictive emotions, you have emotions like compassion. The compassion can fulfill the role that attachment fulfills, which is the acquisition of the necessary conditions for survival, friendship, friends, and material needs, and so on. But compassion can fulfill that role without the exaggeration, without the extremes that negative emotions or afflictions tend to lead to. Similarly, the role that anger and hostility provides in overcoming the obstacles can also be fulfilled by compassion. Compassion, with a strong sense of compassion and concern for the well-being of the perpetrator of the harm, you can actually, without losing sight of the humanity of that person, you can take a very strong measure. So compassion can fulfill the role of these afflictive emotions without letting us to this extreme and disaster. So in a sense, one could say that the afflictions do have a role, but then they tend to perform that role in a very blind and foolish manner, which leads to disaster. And similarly, one major problem of these afflictive emotions is that they tend to exaggerate a lot. A large element of the afflictive emotions is mental projection. In fact, recently, and the question is, why do these emotions react in a manner that is totally inappropriate to the event, to the reality?
Go extreme.
No.
Oh.
So why do they go extreme? Because they are grounded upon a distorted way of seeing things. They are grounded upon ignorance.
So therefore, these negative emotions, I think they act like unrealistic.
Recently, I've had the opportunity to have a discussion with a scientist. I think he's in the field of psychotherapy, in fact. And in our discussion, he made the remark that if you analyze carefully in the emotions like strong attachment and anger and hatred, when these intense emotions arise, there is almost a 90% exaggeration of the characteristics upon which the emotions is based. For example, if it is hatred, then the characteristic, the quality of negativeness of the object is exaggerated by 90%, which I think is very true. And this is coming from a person who has no familiarity with Nagarjuna's writing at all. So, and he's basically converging on Nagarjuna's insight that all these afflictive emotions arise on the basis of a distortion of reality. There is an exaggeration that is involved. Similarly, when we talk about emotional pride or arrogance, generally pride can be a positive state of emotion. For example, in a Bodhisattva practitioner, those who make the pledge to work for the benefit of an entire sentient being, they have a tremendous sense of pride and grounded upon a confidence that I shall do this, I'll be able to fulfill this aspiration. So yet at the same time, in this kind of pride, there is not even a trace of indifference to others. There is not even a trace of willingness to exploit others for the benefit of one's own interest. So the compassion and the bodhicitta, in these emotions, one can maintain a high level of pride. One can fulfill many of the roles that the other negative emotions play, but at the same time are free of the downsides of the extremes, and does not involve in any way being oblivious to the well-being of other sentient beings.
Positive emotion, I think this positive emotion comes through analyze, through serious investigation. Then voluntarily, deliberately, intentionally try to cultivate and increase. The other negative emotion just spontaneously come. If we think second thought, then feel, oh, it's wrong. Then you go, you want to push the enemy, turn the body, that's you want to show the sense of some stand, and you take some to not just think about. That, so much, to train your mind, Jenny, yeah, just a chamber, the ninja or so, just several so, get the body, go chisel, Janaya, the goody some chasm, mother, but that thing, and not just some chasm, you go. Did they tell us, you know, that the Gabin Samay, you meet.
So, as explained before, compared to arrogance, the sense of pride that underlies a positive emotion like bodhicitta, the awakening mind, in arrogance and conceit, there is underlying that there is a sense of obliviousness to others' welfare. And there is also, in some cases, a willingness to exploit others for one's own sake. And there is, in the least, a form of indifference to others' welfare. Whereas the pride that underlies awakening mind, and there is no such negativities involved. So similarly, one contrast between positive emotions like compassion and negative emotions like hostility, anger, and so on, is that the negative emotions tend to be more impulsive and reactive, whereas the positive emotions tend to be much more grounded upon a cultivation. So when the negative emotions, intense negative emotions or afflictions arise, and once the intensity subsides, and sometimes we realize that we made a mistake. Whereas if we experience intense level of positive emotions, even after the intensity subsides, there is no such regret or remorse. And furthermore, the difference between the two is that the positive emotions are grounded upon certain reasonable or realistic way of seeing things, whereas the negative emotions or afflictive emotions are grounded upon a distortion. Similarly, positive emotions are complemented by wisdom and insight. So sometimes when people hear that the Buddhist teachings advocate freedom from attachment, sometimes people mistakenly get the impression that the Buddhism is propounding a total freedom from emotions. Somehow, an individual, the ideal individual, is someone who has no emotions. So this is absolutely wrong understanding. In fact, in the Buddhist ideal of compassion, we are promoting a higher, very high level of emotions, and an individual who is, totally empathetic towards the suffering of all other sentient beings. And so we're not cultivating an individual who is detached and disconnected with the experience and suffering of others.
So today in the
Therefore, if you think deeply, there's nothing to be afraid about the 84,000 afflictions. Because all these 84,000 afflictions are 84,000 fools. Whereas all of these 84,000 afflictions can be countered by a single wisdom, a wisdom of insight of the nature of reality. So if we reflect deeply So if we reflect deeply upon the meaning of afflictions and their functions and so on, in fact, we will come to recognize that the very term, nyonmong, affliction, klesha, which etymologically suggests something that afflicts from within and something that undermines, but it also has an etymological connotation of obscuration or obscuring. So in that sense, even the term itself conveys the idea of falsification and obscuration. Therefore, you know, it suggests the weakness of these afflictions because they have no valid grounding in reason nor experience. So in a way, we could say that the Dhamma practice, in the context of Buddhism, when we speak of spiritual practice in the context of Buddhism, is nothing but engaging in a process whereby we are combating with these afflictions. We are combating with this distorted way of relating things and trying to cultivate a more realistic, more enlightened way of and dealing with the reality. So in a sense, we could say, for example, as I mentioned this morning, even from a conventional point of view, the very idea behind education is to help us remove the level of ignorance we have with specific fields of knowledge so that we are equipped to deal with the world. In the same manner, we could speak of Buddhist practice as another form of education, an education that involves overcoming an unrealistic, impractical and distorted way of relating to things and cultivating a more realistic, more appropriate and more healthy way of being and relating to things. So we then read in the Shantideva's text, in solitude the mind and body are not troubled by distraction, therefore leave this worldly life and totally abandon mental wandering. Because of loved ones and desire for gain, disgust with worldly life does not arise. These then are the first things to renounce. Such are the reflections of a prudent man. So in referring to solitude of mind and body here, the solitude of body, in some sense, the solitude of the body really refers to seeking a solitude. So generally, in terms of discipline, one speaks of guarding the doors of one's senses or physically isolating oneself and finding a solitude, place of solitude. So there are two approaches. One is to create an environment which by its very nature would preclude, prevent the individual from coming face to face with physical distractions. So this is seeking physical a solitary place. But there is also another practice, which is although one may not be in a physical a place of solitude, but by guarding the door of the senses, even though you may confront events and objects that are like that have the potential to distract, but by deliberately maintaining a discipline and guarding the senses, one will be able to maintain this solitude of body. But if one lives in a solitary place, but what is more important is the solitude of the mind, because even if one is physically isolated, but if one's mind is not isolated from the various preconceptions and thoughts and emotions and so on, then although one may be living in a peaceful, quiet environment, but one's mind will be always busy thinking about this thing or emotions and thoughts and so on. Therefore, between the two, the physical solitude and the mental solitude, the latter, the mental solitude, is more important.
Yeah.
So we'll stop here.